And now, back to Marriage Beyond the Vows. If you're in Charlotte, call 1-877-995-7644. If you're in Philly, call 215-263-1039. And get in on the conversation. We're Praise.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome back to now the second hour of Marriage Beyond the Vows, where we're talking about beyond the guilt and what are you guilty of and how is it destroying your relationship. We do invite you to give us a call, 215-263-1039, 877-995-7644. But let's hear from folks on our second favorite book, that's Facebook. And of course, you can always go there, hit the like button, and post your comments as well. Marcos, what are folks saying on Facebook?
Too much to share, honestly. You will have to go there yourself.
And that's right.
Chime in on the conversation. But you know, this whole week we've posted so many different things about guilt, and you know, if you have guilt, it will ruin your relationship, all that kind of stuff. And one of the questions that I posted that we had many of you chime in on is, if you could erase something from your past, what would it be? And so Angel Melendez says, I would not erase anything. Through many challenges we've been through back and forth, we are now experiencing the time of our lives, 14 years of being married. God has blessed me with a great wife and wonderful kids. Then Teresa Taylor says, no, there's not one thing I would change. I know that everything happens for a reason. Sia Freeman says, all of my exes. Tish Robinson says, not to listen to my mom. Mm. And then and it gets really interesting here. Deidre Drake says, having sex before marriage is something that she wishes she can change. Mm. And then Fatima Saunders also says, definitely having sex before marriage. God wasn't my standard. That's how the relationship made me feel at the time was more important. Boy, was I foolish. And John Graham says, poor credit decisions. Eureka McCray says, my marriage, I would change the fact of not having counseling before I got married. And then Elizabeth also says, what about you, Marcos? I noticed that you post a lot of questions there on Facebook, but you did not share your own thoughts. And for Elizabeth, if you listen to the show, I mean, I share a lot of my thoughts. Usually it's not just I'm not the only one that posts there, so it's not just me. So, you know, you're kind of dealing with our whole team there. And so that's why it's generic. We want to hear from you. It's really about you. Right. But Elizabeth, if you want, and if you're listening, we definitely share. I share a lot about my life here on the air. But thank you so much for wanting to know more about what I have to say there. And Ayana McPhear says, the lies and deception. Sabrina Martin talks about not completing college. But this one was really deep. Wright Joyce says, if I could erase something from my past, it would be being violated when I was young. Okay. And then finally, last but not least, Sandy Palmer says, every man that I was ever stupid enough to have a relationship with, I wish I could erase them from the planet. So I don't know if she means erase them or erase the
memory.
The memory or something. But, you know, there's so much there. You know, we even put there that a quote about that fear is the tax that consequent pays to guilt. Fear. Think about that. Why are you fearful? And so we're going to go back to the phone. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows. I'm your host, Marcos Mercado, here with Tiffany Bacon. As we're taking your calls, we do want to hear from you.
Just call us, 215-263-1039-877-995-7644. Josh Peterson is on the phone, but we have Karen, who was on line three with a comment.
Okay. Good morning. Welcome to our show.
Good morning.
Hi, Karen. Speak up for us if you don't mind.
Certainly. Can you hear me now?
Absolutely.
Yes, much
great.
Better.
Great.
All right. What's your comment?
I wanted to just share that I was thinking about the topic today, and both guilt and shame are tremendously powerful and, you know, often run together. What we learn from the Bible is that our sins need to be covered. They should be covered by the blood of Jesus, but when it's not, our flesh and even our souls will cover it. The way that shows up is in the silence, is in the secrets, is in the deceit and purposeful acts to keep it covered. Once that begins, the only thing that really ends it is to be confronted. And that's not just by the spouse or by the other person, but really by the convicting power of God. My husband and I last week had a a terrible argument. We're newlyweds. I'm actually about to celebrate a second anniversary. And
okay, well, congratulations on that one.
Thank you so much. Excited about that. But this argument could have really have ended our marriage, and it even came up in that argument. And,
wow.
That really knocked me for a loop. Thank God, after he left briefly, he called me and, humbled himself and called me, because I know that was very difficult for him. And but while he was gone, God had really convicted me and just, really said, okay, it's decision time.
Sure.
And I had to decide that, number one, I know for a fact that we don't fight fair. No one teaches us that. And what we've been taught all our lives, no matter how long we've been saved, is really to hit below the belt. And so, in our process, we were able to resolve the conflict. He had gone with his brother. He called me, asked me to pick him up, and
That's nice.
As soon as he got in the car, I just said, I choose to love you, and I choose to move on. And as we talked about it, we both admitted to each other that we had triggers from past relationships. So sometimes when you get in it, you don't even see the person. You remember the way I was dealt with, the guilt from allowing someone to treat me like this, or allowing, and it's not even the same person. And oftentimes that gets, really confusing and really tied up, and it really will cause you to react.
Yes, and Karen,
inappropriately.
Karen.
So many times.
You hear me?
Yes.
And, I think that you're saying a lot, and we do appreciate everything and your vulnerability and your openness on the air. You mentioned about fighting fair. We usually don't fight fair. We're taught to fight, and do whatever it takes to win. And usually when we have that attitude, we actually lose.
Yep.
We don't win. And so to me, just to make it clear, I've shared this before, but I always talk about fighting fair. And fighting fair means you don't bring the past. If there is an issue and it's, I call it, if it's worthy of having an agreement or a discussion about it, then go ahead and have it. But don't bring the past. And also don't mention absolute words like always or never, because that's not fair.
Yep.
And then finally, don't mention divorce. That's not where you're going and that's not what you're trying to do. Like, don't say things that later on you wish you can take back, like, I regret marrying you or anything like that. So, Karen, I think you're right on point. I think you're learning. You're going on a great direction. I do want to commend you on the humility from both you and your husband to say, we're bigger than this. We're going to work it out. All right. Well, thank you
so much for allowing me to share that. I love your show.
Thank you. All right. Now, Josh, we just have a quick moment before we take another quick break. What do you think about that, Josh? Because I know that Karen just mentioned that there's guilt from the past that comes to our present. And I'm sure there are things that have happened whenever you felt, because you shared about the pornography addiction and how it was something that was really in your past and you thought it was dead. And then you went through another hardship and then it came right back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think what can happen with guilt, in my experience, is that when we don't deal with it in a biblical way, in a godly way, we can carry guilt with us into other arenas of our life. And so,
that's true.
It stays with us, it's heavy. Although I did deal with it in my past, when it came up again, I didn't continue to deal with it in a biblical way. And so I carried it with me. And I think that this is what a lot of people experience with guilt.
And I thought it was very, very profound when she shared that sin has to be covered. So either we're going to cover it with our silence, our secrets or whatever, or, is going to be covered by the blood of Jesus. I love that so much. And I know just a quick moment, again, we're going to take our last break and then we'll be back for quite a bit. We do want to hear from you. We'll give you those numbers. But one of the things we're going to focus when we get back, and Josh will share about this as well, is how you can be freed from that guilt and what happens when you decide to get totally honest, have full disclosure. So we'll be talking about that. Tiffany will give out the numbers, and then, we'll be right back.
Make sure you give us a call, 215-263-1039, 877-995-7644. If you're already on the phone and in the queue, we'll be right with you. Just give us a few more minutes of your time. Marriage Beyond the Vows returns after this.
Thank you.
And now, back to Marriage Beyond the Vows. If you're in Charlotte, call 1-877-995-7644. If you're in Philly, call 215-263-1039. And get in on the conversation. We're Praise.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome back to the final segment of Marriage Beyond the Vows for today. Beyond the guilt, what are you guilty of and how does it destroy your relationship? Reach out to us, 215-263-1039, 877-995-7644. Marcos, let's speak with Cindy calling in on line two with a comment. Cindy, good morning. You're live on the air. Cindy? Oh, okay, so okay. We have an anonymous caller now. I'm sorry, we lost Cindy. So, anonymous caller on line four. Good morning. You're live on the air.
Yes, I have been guilty of lying to my spouse. It hasn't been for anything significant. However, I do have a spouse who angers over simple things. So while I pray for wisdom in dealing with it, and knowing that it's wrong, in the meantime, I have handled it by offering little white lies just to keep the peace. I don't like it, but I don't want to fight over a simple thing. So can you tell me what I can do about that?
You know what? What's interesting is whenever you have a situation like that, there will be deceit in the marriage. And one of the things that I've learned in counseling and in doing workshops together is you both need help because it's becoming a vicious cycle where he... Are you still there? I think we lost her as well. Hey, we lost the call. All right. Well, hopefully you're listening there. There is a vicious cycle that takes place when we lie and the other person, gets angry. And one of the things that I've realized is if you don't sit down and have a healthy discussion, and you might need help, you might need guidance. And sometimes you got to write these things down because if not, you'll be tempted. As an example is, let's say you write down you feel really hurt when your spouse gets angry, you know, just like what you mentioned. And then, you know, as you mentioned that, he's like, what do you mean I get angry? And he starts raising his voice. He starts getting angry. The temptation could be to say, oh, no, I don't mean like that. I don't mean to get you angry. And you could easily take it back. And so what you need to do is you need to make sure, first of all, you're in a safe and healthy environment. And right now it doesn't seem safe. And so instead of lying, what I would say is you need to be honest about how you feel and then drop it there and say, listen, we can't have this kind of conversation if every time I'm going to say something, you get angry. And so it's okay to refuse to speak about certain things, to not be open and vulnerable if you believe they're going to come out and get angry in return. But don't start making up lies or doing something just to keep the peace. Josh, are you there as well?
I am.
Okay, great. Right before the break, we were talking about, you know, the difference. One of the callers, Karen, called in and she mentioned guilt and then shame. I know they're very closely related. What is actually the difference between guilt and shame? Is there a difference?
Well, I think there are. They're kind of like cousins, like you said. But I think guilt is a function of not dealing openly with the things. That shame is a consequence of those actual actions. It's the embarrassment that comes along with, like in my case, it was the pornography. And so there's a shame that we feel, and what that shame can do is it can create a cycle of dishonesty in our lives where we're not open. And then as we see, I think what the great thing about guilt is guilt can actually serve us. When we feel guilt, we can say, hey, wait a minute, why am I feeling this guilt, and what do I need to do with it? Shame is the thing that can really shut us down and cause us to feel embarrassment and not wanting to be open with those things.
So guilt can serve us, but shame can actually, you know, cause us to go.
Yeah, I believe it can.
Wow. Very, very good. And I know you quoted something earlier. I don't know if it was something that you came to the conclusion of or something you just learned that, you know, we have these emotions that can be great servants, but horrible, you know, masters. Can you explain
right.
a little bit of what that means? I love it. I love, you know, just hearing it. It's like, man, that sounds powerful. But what does it mean?
Well, I think a great example is from the last caller and talking about anger. Anger is actually a boundary setter, and there's reasons we get angry. So if we can understand anger, it can serve us well. It tends to be how we react in our anger that gets us in trouble. And so many people want to avoid anger altogether. But anger can serve us. But if it masters us, and we've probably been around people like that, I know I have, and I can be that person at times even where I'm mastered by my anger, and that's a very dangerous place to be. Wow. So I believe God gives us emotions for a reason to really serve us if we can understand them and use them correctly.
Wow, great. Well, thanks so much, Josh. We're going to go back to our phone lines. We have another anonymous caller on line two that has a question. Good morning. You're live on the air with Praise.
Yes. I have a question about counseling.
Okay, good. You know, for some reason, we're getting a really bad connection. Is there, can you speak up a little bit?
Yes. I had a question about counseling.
Okay, sure.
Your guest had talked about how counseling had helped him work through his issues.
Yes.
And I had some similar issues that I needed to work out, and I went to a Christian counselor, and I don't have anything to compare it to because it was my first time going to a counselor, but it turned out to be more so like a Bible study, and although I appreciate the Word of God and I love the Word of God, I didn't feel like the experience gave me the help I needed. I felt like I needed to talk stuff out more, and I wasn't given that the opportunity.
Wow. Okay, well, you know, that definitely happens a lot. I mean, I don't know if you have an opportunity to share that with your counselor. Because we have a bad connection, I'm going to recommend two things. Number one, if you would like to kind of further discuss some more counseling, I'm going to give you a number that you can reach me at. It's 717-862-VOWS, V-O-W-S, which is 8697, 717-862-8697. And also, if once we get off the line, Josh and I will share a little bit more about this. You can probably hear us through this as well. All yeah, right. Josh, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Were you able to hear the caller?
I heard about half of it.
Okay, well, basically, he's just saying he went to counseling, and he wasn't able to express himself. And that was the first and only time he experienced counseling. And so he was wondering, you know, like, what should he expect? My advice to him was, you know, make sure that if you can go back and express that. Because, you know, people right. and counselors have different approaches. Maybe some want to, you know, let you kind of share everything first. Others, you know, they really want to kind of help you and set you straight first and then try to guide you that way. But, you know, you do have to feel comfortable with who you're going to because, you're spilling everything out. You know, you're sharing
yeah.
your whole life. And just because someone's a counselor, especially if they say Christian counselor, doesn't mean
right.
that's the person that you need to go to.
Yeah, that's very true. And that's actually been my experience as well. I mean, you're talking about disclosing some of the most intimate details and sometimes it's the secrets of your heart. It's in some ways, it's finding the right match for you. And like you said, and certainly in your experience, Marcos, where with counseling, counselors take different approaches. And so part of it is, I think, finding the arena in which you can feel comfortable and safe and express fully the things that you feel. So I kind of relate it to going to a dentist. If you go to a dentist and you have a bad experience, you probably won't go back to that dentist again, but I wouldn't recommend never seeing a dentist again. You probably find another one that maybe works better with you.
And I think, you know, that's why the Bible guides us as well. It talks about, you know, godly counsel and someone that really uses the Bible the right way. I know that very recently we had a show. And you know, we're very open and very candid on our program. And so if you
yeah.
have little ones and, you know, some of the topics we bring up, you don't, you know, you want to really put them in another room because you don't want them to be exposed to some of this conversation too early. Okay, we're tasteful. It is a gospel station. So, you know, we want to do this right, but we talk
right.
about things. And one of the things that come up is masturbation. Comes up, you know, pretty consistently. And there are a lot of misconceptions out there about masturbation. You know, there are counselors out there who say they're Christians, but then they'll say that it's okay in certain situations. Others would say it's absolutely wrong. And so the approach we take is, first of all, we don't want to add anything to the scriptures that are not there. So
right.
the Bible never says that it's a sin, but Jesus does say that having lust in your heart is sinful. So
exactly.
if a situation with masturbation comes up and, you know, a spouse needs to, you know, do that together or whatever, because that's going to edify the relationship, is going to be good, then it's okay. But if you're doing it out of lust, if you're watching pornography, and usually that's the only way that you can, you know, kind of, you know, get yourself to that point to be aroused.
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
one of the things that I've heard recently is this couple came to me and they were like, look, we went somewhere and they were saying that it was okay for my husband to do this and it was hurting our relationship. I'm like, listen, we can't start adding things and giving us, you are opinion and making it scripture. So for anyone out there, when you go to counseling, you want to make sure it matches up to the Bible. No counselor has a right to change the word of God. And so we can't add to it. We can't take away. If it is going to be our opinion, we can share it as opinion, but we can't share it as law. All right. Well, we're going to go back to the phone lines. We have Anthony waiting on line 4.
All right. Anthony, good morning. You're live on the air. What's your question?
Good morning. Praise Him. How are you?
Yes,
oh, we're doing
morning.
Pretty well. What is your question for us today?
I have a sort of an issue. I was obviously a PK all my life, so we were taught to wait the older we got for, to have sex, but I didn't. But my wife did. My issue is I've had many partners, shall I say, so I kind of know what I like and, kind of crazy, but my wife is very laid back, shall I say. Not as experienced, obviously. I'm only hers. We're of pushing 30 now, and it's really hard to honestly have a good time. And I have an issue because I can't ever be satisfied. Is that the right way to say?
Absolutely, Anthony. And you know what? Excellent question. And you know what? Even as we're talking about guilt, that can even make you feel guilty.
Right.
I'm going to share from a personal note. You know, my wife and I, it's pretty similar in a sense. I became a Christian pretty young. And so I had some experience. My wife had like none. And one of the things I had to learn, number one, is I had to be patient. I wasn't very patient. You know, I wanted all these other fantasies and these desires that I had and for my wife to go from 0 to 60. And I realized that, we have the rest of our lives together to grow together. And I had to be patient. I wasn't. I was very impatient. I'm like, I want my wife to try this or do this. And it would really frustrate her and me. And so one of the things that I learned is, number one, your wife shouldn't have to suffer because of the sin that you committed in the past. Now, because of that sin, you do have a different sex drive. Now, part of that is because you were doing things that you know were wrong and probably with people who you should have definitely not been doing it with. And so here your wife is, she kept herself pure. Now, part of the problem is not the purity that she kept. Part of the problem is sometimes in the church culture, women especially are taught that certain things are taboo, that certain things are just ungodly and they're wrong. And we know that is not the case in the marriage bed. Everything is pure, as long as it's not, you're not bringing someone else to the marriage, you're not bringing, pornography or anything like that. But you can express yourself in any way with each other. So my first point for you, Anthony, is it's not wrong to feel that way, but it's wrong to be impatient because I can hear it in your voice. There's a frustration. There's a lack of patience. And how long you've been married now?
10 years.
You've been married 10 years. That's not that long, honestly.
That's long.
Yeah, but you're only 30. Let me tell you right now. For in my relationship, that was about the time that things started changing the way that I want. It took about that long. It's unfortunate, and some people might be hearing like, that's crazy. But I'm not saying we didn't have good moments, but it wasn't until like that 10-year mark that we really started feeling so comfortable, so connected. Mm. And what I had to learn, Anthony, one word of wisdom I would give you is the foreplay is so important. It can't just be like she's going to, pick up right where you want her to. And so you might have to take her out on a date, hold her hand, not even have anything sexual, and just share with her some of your desires without it leading to sex at that moment so that she can prepare herself, so that she could think about it. And this might sound even a little bit overly spiritual, but we really started praying about this in our marriage, and it started helping our sex life. Us praying together about our sex life actually improved it. All right, and I know you sound like, 10 years, we've had a long time. Here's the thing, brother. You love your wife, right?
Absolutely.
And you only want her to meet your needs? You don't want to go anywhere else?
Yeah, I ain't no need to go nowhere else.
Well, sometimes you can feel like there's a need, but you know you don't want to.
Well, you fight that need. That's what I'm saying.
Absolutely, you fight that need. And so once she knows that, you just reassure her and just say, listen, I'm here for you. I'm willing to teach you and help you, and it's going to take a lot of communication. Josh, I don't know if you want to chime in on this as well, because you mentioned a little bit about your past with the pornography and stuff, and I'm sure that affected your marriage as well.
Yeah, and as it pertains to guilt, I think the one thing I would say, and then I'd also affirm one thing you said, is selfishness really it cultivates an underlying guilt. Because especially in our physical relationships and in a romantic relationship with our spouse, it's a relationship where we're really meant to serve each other. And if I go into that, physical relationship consumed with what I want or focused on myself, and I leave that time unfulfilled, and sometimes I wonder, well, why is that, and what's the problem? I'm not really focused on my wife or really encouraging her, helping her. And so I think that guilt can really play into that because of the selfishness that we struggle with as men. The other thing I think I'd say, though, is that prayer really opens a dialogue about our physical relationships. And there's just something about praying together with our wives, even about our romantic relationship, our physical relationship, that can open up an honest dialogue between the two of us and really help us to grow. I think communication is a huge part of our sex life, and opening that dialogue through prayer is a great way of doing that.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Anthony, hopefully this helps you, gives you some guidance and direction. Well, thank you so much for your call. You be blessed.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Don't forget to give us a call. We still have some time left in today's program. If you need some help in the guilt department, you're guilty about something and it's destroying your relationship, reach out to us. 215-263-1039-877-995-7644.
Yep, absolutely. And you know something, Josh, that I heard as a result of your lesson was the fact that some people had basically made a decision that they would take their seekers to the grave. And yet, as they focus on what you talked about in terms of guilt, in terms of the consequence and how much is worse if they don't speak up. I shared earlier, but I think before you got on, how there have been numerous couples that I've heard from listening to your lesson that decided to come clean after years of having affairs and hiding it. And so what do you think, obviously as the Holy Spirit, but what do you think is that trigger where people finally get to that point? I know for you, you say you were caught, but I know many people who get caught and then they still lie. Mm-hmm. So what did it for you where you just felt like, all right, that's it. I'm tired of this. I'm not going to live in this guilt anymore.
Well, I think that there is a freedom that comes with confession. And when you've been held down, when you've been enslaved, when you've told lies long enough, it wears you out, and there comes a point in time when there is an opportunity, and for me it was, like you said, when I was found out, but it was an opportunity for me to change. It was an opportunity for me to confess. I think the number one reason people don't deal with their guilt is fear. Fear is the thing that holds guilt at bay and allows people to continue to try to function in their lives with guilt because they're afraid of the consequences, or they're afraid of being found out, or just simply afraid of how they're perceived. So I think that the freedom that comes with confession cannot be understated. And that's what we're seeing people experience right now as they're dealing with some, like you said, years of lying or those kinds of things in their relationship.
And I notice that sometimes we do become slaves to fear. Fear is one of those emotions as well, that if it takes over, the Bible even says fear has to do with punishment. I mentioned the quote earlier. It's from a man named George Sewell, and it says, "Fear is the tax that consequent pays to guilt." That's the tax. That's what you're paying. So let's go back to our phone lines here. On line two, we have another anonymous caller.
Yes, with a question. Caller, good morning. You're live on the air. Yes, caller, are you there?
Yes.
All right, caller, we're not quite sure what that noise is in the background. Are you somewhere outside or near a machine?
I'm in a parking lot.
Okay.
Okay, all so right. Just speak up for us, because we're having a hard time hearing you.
Okay, I have a question. I was married to a man, and then I found out that a couple months after we got married, I found out that he was involved in incest.
Okay.
And when we went to court, I was embarrassed, so I tried to protect him, and it still bothers me that I did that. I'm struggling with guilt.
Okay, when you say he was involved with incest, he was and he was had to go to court for this because he was caught in that, and then you covered it up for him?
Well, after I told one of his relatives, he threatened to cut my throat, and it became a police matter. And then I tried to, I was embarrassed, and because I was embarrassed, I wasn't dishonest, but I didn't tell the truth either. And it bothers me. I didn't tell the truth about what really happened to him and this person, and it bothers me that I did that.
Okay, and is this your husband, present husband?
No, we're not married anymore. We got a divorce.
Okay. Well, I think, number one, you know, you want to make sure the most important relationship you have to protect is your relationship with God. And if this is haunting you, is there any way you can make this right? What do you think you need to do at this point?
I know I need to let it go, but it's hard because, you know, I was alone for so long, and then he came along pretending he was such a Christian man, and for him to, you know, do what he did in my face and wanted me to accept it, and then I, you know, instead of me telling the judge everything, I held back and didn't tell them, and it bothers me that I did that.
Okay, so you regret the mistake. You sinned, you lied, you covered it up. If you had the opportunity to do it over and you can be honest, would you be honest this time around?
Yes, I would tell exactly what happened.
Okay. Because I think a number of reasons. Sometimes we can't change what we already did. We can't undo it. But what we could do is we can make a decision that we're going to repent, that we're going to be different. And when that happens, you know, Romans 8, verse 1 talks about that, which is awesome. It says, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And what we got to realize is that once we're freed and we've repented, all of us have things that we've done in our past that we wish we can take back. I mean, whatever it is, whether there's an affair, whether it's, you know, something we're so ashamed of. But at some point, you got to realize that it's over and you have to repent, and you can't let the past dictate your future. Now, the way you repent of something like this, and I, you know, we don't have the time to get really into all the details, but it sounds to me that the way you repent of this is a decision that from this moment on, you will be an honest person. And if you're ever in that situation again, you will be honest. And then let it go.
I'm trying. It's hard.
It is hard, but it's a decision. It's called forgiveness, but you got to forgive yourself. And what helps me is, if Jesus paid the price so that we could be forgiven, then what are we saying to him about his sacrifice? We're saying that his sacrifice is really not good enough for us because we're still holding on. And so think about it. It actually cost Jesus dying and shedding his blood so that we can be forgiven of things like this. And if we still hold on, we're basically saying that, God, I know you did this and I know you sacrificed Jesus, but that's not enough. I need something more. It's like, what else can God give you other than the life of his son? And so you at that point, you got to make a decision. It's a decision. You will let it go.
I tried.
Okay. And what do you mean? But how did you try?
I keep asking God to help me, you know. I mean, I don't feel as though I lied. I just didn't. When the judge asked me certain questions, I tried to protect the situation.
You lied.
That I don't embarrass the girl, and I don't embarrass him.
Yeah, but it's a lie. You covered it up. A half truth is still a lie. You deceived the judge.
Yeah.
So I think, first of all, own it. You did wrong. You know it. That's where you're guilty. But then, after that, I mean, do you have a way to apologize to the girl? Maybe you need to ask for forgiveness from the girl.
No. When she sees me, she just hangs her head down. She don't talk to me.
Because sometimes we got to make amends for ourselves. But the ultimate person we need to make amends with is God and then ourselves. You know, Josh, I don't know if you want to chime in or add anything to this.
Yeah, I'd be curious as to where do you think the embarrassment comes from?
Embarrassment comes from knowing that I was married to a man who pretended to be, I was fooled. And, like, I'm embarrassed that I was married to a man who would do something like that, who wanted to go to church and pretend that he was a Christian while this was happening and wanted me to go along with it.
Yeah. And I think that these are the things that we've been talking about on the show, like shame and embarrassment. These are the things that cause us to not deal honestly or openly with what's really happening in our lives. And then we feel guilt. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's a great opportunity to learn about yourself and learn about the embarrassment and learn about the shame so that you can be different in the future. This is the power, the opportunity that you have now is to understand that so that you can be different in the future, like Marcos was talking about.
Amen. All right. Well, caller, we appreciate it, and I hope this helps.
Thank you.
God bless.
All right. Take care. Let's go to line 4 and speak with Devrin with a comment. Good morning. You are live on the air. Hello,
yes,
Devrin.
Yes, hello.
Yes, good morning.
You're live on the air.
Yes, good morning. How are you doing?
Oh, we're doing very well. You know, we're talking about guilt. This is Marriage Beyond the Vows, and it's, we believe you have a comment for us today.
Yes, I actually do have a comment for the caller. I think it was a couple of calls back. First, this was a great topic. Myself being a newlywed, I was able to kind of relate to some of the things he was talking about as far as in the marriage when it comes to intimacy and dealing with his wife. And I think you said one of the things that was great is that you had to grow together along with your wife. When I first got married, you know, one of the things that was one of, not a main issue, but it was an issue between my wife and myself and everything. Didn't really drive us apart, but one of the things that I had to do as the husband, I would consistently talk to God about it and say, you know what, this is the woman that you placed in my life. I want to honor her in a way or whatever that's going to continually honor you. I don't want to step out the marriage. I don't want to do anything of that sort and everything. So I realized that in order for me to meet her where I wanted her to meet me, that I had to understand how God met me and how Christ met me when I didn't fulfill and when I didn't and when I wasn't up to par the way I needed to be in my relationship and my walk with Christ. And as you stated, I had to be very patient. It was a lot of communication, a lot of reassurance to her to say that, you know what, I'm not going to go anywhere regardless of how much you may feel that you don't satisfy me or how much you may feel that the intimacy may not be that great. We are in this to grow together. We're in the long haul together. We made the vows, and we're going to keep it that way. And I think as we continue to walk and as she continued to get that reassurance and understand, the more confident she became in expressing herself when it came to intimacy. And I think one of the things that I had to learn is the fact that intimacy wasn't always sexual.
Oh, absolutely.
Intimacy was one of those things that it was a time frame that allowed me to get more into her spiritually, physically, as well as she would come into me. And I think I actually realized that when I started becoming more intimate with God and he started to reveal certain things and relationship between he and I started to see things more clear between my wife and myself.
That's great. And Devrin, let's just be honest. I agree, and what you're saying is so true. But for us men, intimacy means sex. I mean, that's what it means.
Yes.
And however, we need to respect that that might not be the same thing for our wives. And one,
right.
When you have that understanding, you know, for a long time, I would say, how could it not be the same? Like, that's what I need. And it just became so much about me that I forget, wait a minute, I need to please my wife. And for her, it was more than just pleasing her in the bedroom. It was pleasing her
exactly.
With my connection. I mean, my wife made a comment the other day. We were debating buying some flights, you know, for my wife, my kids, for this summer. And we were debating whether we'll drive or we'll fly. And
right.
She's like, let's drive. And there's one of the sisters at church, this was at church, we were having the conversation. She says, you're going to drive? That's far. And my wife's like, I love driving because all I get to do is talk to my husband for hours. And
right.
I'm like, man, that's the way she looked. And it's true. We're sitting in a car for hours, literally, and we're just talking. And she loves that. And so it was a no-brainer. I was like, all right, well, we're driving. That's it. Because she needs that. Now, for me, my selfish part was thinking, oh, no, I don't want to be in the car for that long. But
right,
if
right.
I didn't consider her needs, I could have either easily offended her by saying, no, I don't want to be in a car that long. I would just rather fly. It's quick. And
right.
Not really realize what she needs. So, Devrin, I think it's a great point. I want to encourage you, keep growing, keep being considerate of your wife. Amen.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. Oh, you're welcome.
Having me on.
Absolutely. I think we have time for one more caller.
Yes, we do. We have Lindsay calling in on line 3 with a question. Lindsay, good morning. You're live on the air.
Hi.
Hey. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Great. What's your question?
My husband and I are reconciling our marriage at this point. I had initiated the filing of a divorce, and then I decided that it wasn't the route I wanted to take anymore. And I have been, you know, growing in Christ and continuing my relationship with him. And now I'm closer to God. And I just want to honor him, and I want to honor my vows to my husband. And we're doing well, but I'm sensing that, well, first of all, our marriage was on the rocks for a long time. We both both had some incidences of infidelity. And at this point, I'm just feeling in my gut that there's still other females in his life. I don't know at what level, but I'm just sensing it. I don't know if it's the Holy Spirit talking to me. And I just don't know what to do about it. I mean, I don't want to end my marriage any longer, but I don't know if I should confront him about it or just let it go and just let God handle it.
Okay. Well, Lindsay, excellent, excellent question. And I think that it would be a huge mistake to just ignore it and let it go, because it would not go away. And whether it's the Holy Spirit or, you know, God gave you that women's intuition, whatever it is, it is God allowing you to see certain signs. And if you're going to have a solid foundation moving forward, it can't be based on doubt or, you know, question marks or lack of trust. And so the first thing I tell people, there's a scripture in 2 Corinthians that actually talks about the difference between worldly sorrow and godly sorrow. Now, what's interesting about that passage is that they're both sorrow. But one, worldly sorrow, leads to death. The other one, godly sorrow, is very different. And so when you have godly sorrow, according to, you know, this passage in Corinthians, it brings repentance. It leads to salvation. It leaves no regret. But there are also some fruits of having that godly sorrow. And there's an earnestness, an eagerness to clear yourselves, an indignation, an alarm, a concern, all these things that I want to encourage you, Lindsay. If you don't see that godly sorrow in your husband, then it will still be premature to come together. Are you separated right now?
We are.
Okay. And my encouragement to you is, before you join back together, make sure you get some help. Make sure you get things resolved and fixed, and do not move forward without really going deep enough. Okay, and I want to offer you, I'm going to give you a number. If you can give me a call, I can offer to have more conversation with you, because we're actually running out of time. But I would love to talk to you a little bit more, and even offering, you know, some more advice off the air. Okay?
Okay.
717-862-VOWS, V-O-W-S, which is 8697. So it's 717-862-8697.
Okay.
All right, Lindsay, we thank you so much for your call. And, you know, unfortunately, we're about to wrap up. I want to just thank everyone for calling in. Josh?
Yes, Marcus.
Yes, yes. Lindsay, thank you so much for your call. Josh, before we wrap up, we always like to leave our listeners with a nugget of wisdom, something that they can take with. You know, what would you encourage our listeners to take with them after today's show?
I think that if, you know, probably some of our listeners right now are struggling with the idea of confession, because that's really the remedy for guilt. And so I think what I would encourage the listeners to do is to consider the outcome of their lives a year from now. Mm-hmm. If they were to confess whatever it is that's causing the guilt, really work on it, really overcome it, whether it's a marriage issue, maybe something at work, and to see the other side of it. Because, again, a lot of times why people do not confess is because they see the immediate challenging ramifications of their openness. Mm-hmm. And yet I believe, you know, a year from now, 6 months from now, dealing openly with the things that are causing guilt in their relationship, things could be radically, radically different, especially in marriage.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, Josh, we thank you so much. Mm-hmm. We appreciate you being a guest on our show. Keep doing what you're doing, brother. Great work.
Thank you, Marcos. Really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
And I know we're about to wrap up, but I just want to let all of you know out there that next week our topic will be Beyond the Affair. Ooh. How do you heal after there's an affair? So that's what we'll be talking about next week.
Absolutely. Get your comments ready. Much love going out to our producer in Charlotte, Ron. Thank you for all that you do. And our producer here in Philadelphia, Larry, thank you as well. Have a peaceful, positive, and productive week. Happy first week weekend in June as well. Have a good one. Bye-bye.